Well, we just had VBS, and, you know, sometimes we can kind of rush into and rush out of something too quick without sort of reflecting on it. And it just seemed right. This was such a great spirit at this VBS, and many of you were there. Some of the folks at home may not have had the opportunity to be there, so we really wanted to sort of report out somewhat, because even being there, you don't know everything that's happening, because sometimes I'll see someone talking to someone else. I saw Sarah getting a Bible from a little girl, and so all these things are happening. We even need to tell the stories to each other, and we have to remember that children are very, very precious to God, and so it's worthy for us to reflect on this. I asked Pastor Lamb if he would talk to a number of the volunteers and get some of these testimonies for us to take a significant portion of the service and hear these testimonies and let them not only be an encouragement to us and knowledge to us, but an appreciation to us for ministry to children and for VBS in general. I hope to at the end just do a very short devotion, but I hope you enjoy these testimonies tonight. I've asked Pastor Lamb if he would come and introduce the testimonies.
It was a good week, and that's an understatement. I just want to say a few words, just very briefly, and I want to begin with Paul's words to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where he writes, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." And I extend those words to each and every one of our volunteers for Vacation Bible School. And I truly mean that, because regardless of what your role was, whether you'd have been in a classroom or in the kitchen, whether you were in coins or on security, music, or in a classroom or up here in the sound booth or in the puppet stage or doing the assemblies, every role was vitally important to what God wanted to accomplish over the course of the week. Administrative preparations for Vacation Bible School usually, well, they do. They begin in January for something that generally takes place in June. And that's such things as ordering the materials and setting the date and all of that. But the real preparation for Vacation Bible School begins just after Missions Conference, because we want to take our ministries one at a time, those big ones. When Mrs. Biggs prints out and puts out the sign-up sheet that reads, "Vacation Bible School Volunteer Workers, Adults and Teens." Why is that the beginning? Because Vacation Bible School, like any other true and sincere ministry for our Lord, is a work of faith. And that volunteer sheet is an invitation for every believer who is part of this church to exercise faith. To exercise faith in God and in what God wants to accomplish in the lives of the kids that he will entrust to us, and what God wants to accomplish in our lives too. And so week by week and name by name, I get the great privilege of seeing that sign-up sheet fill up. First the first page, and then the second, and then into the third. And with every name, some of which are familiar because they've been with us in VBSs in the past, many long before I ever was even at this church. Other names are new, volunteers signing up for the very first time. And as those sheets fill up, I get that thrilling anticipation of just what God is going to do with the volunteers and what they are going to experience. I guess maybe it can be said that the first step of faith is always the biggest one. And when we have any ministry rollout, the biggest step is just putting your name to paper and making that commitment, putting hand to plow, as the Lord Jesus would say, because that is indeed a big step. Um, You know, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, the work that we get to do in Vacation Bible School is truly a labor of love. Because when our amazing God and our sincere faith intersect, divine love is going to be a part of that, and there's no doubt about it. In faithful service, especially to children, as Pastor Farley mentioned, whom God cares so, so much about, we get to show our love for him. And he, in turn, fills us with his love and allows us to share that love with those kids. Now, I have no doubt that what is going to be said here in just a moment is going to be filled with testimonies of the marvelous work, grace, power, and love of God throughout the week as we hear from these volunteers. Is VBS work? Yes. Is VBS labor? Yes. Does it require patience and confidence in the God who invites us into that labor? Yes. And it requires personal investment, a commitment of resources and talents and time. And it requires an investment of self, an investment of a very real part of our heart. And if you've ever been involved in ministry of any kind, you know what I'm talking about. But in particular, when we minister to kids, we give them a part of our heart. And they so graciously give us a little part of theirs. I'll tell you, and I've said it more than once, I get more out of ministry than I could ever put into it. That's because it's God at work.
That's right.
And you can never outgive God. So in short, is it worth it? We already know the answer to that, I believe. But I'm going to let you hear it for yourself as these volunteers come and give testimony. And we're going to start with Michael Bean.
I had a great week this week. Can you guys give me an amen for that?
Yeah.
Amen. It was awesome. Honestly, the kids, they were interacting. They were just an encouragement to me, and I felt like I was learning along with them. I was learning different lessons than they were learning, but it was hand in hand. Like we were going over the armor of God all week, and it just seemed like the Lord was working in my life and with my devotions in tandem with the services. So God was working in my heart just as much as the kids, and he reminded me of one thing right off the bat. We had a couple unsaved kids here. And they were talking back and forth, and my heart was like pricked for a second. I was like, oh yeah, that's how unsaved kids act. I forgot about that. And I had to go and pray and ask God to increase my love output that I can give to them. And you know, from that point, though, God also reminded me of hell. And he reminded me that that's the mission, and that's what we're here for. And it was just like all of this was just coming together. And the Lord worked, I believe, because the children, you know, starting at the beginning of the week, you know, they learned, you know, the belt of truth, and they learned from there and there and there. And then they were understanding, which is the important part, and then it was building. And by the end of the week, they knew the whole armor of God. And that was an encouragement to me, just to see that they were actually understanding, and it was actually, like, affecting some of the decisions that they were making just in conversation. And then one of the nights, I was able to talk to a young man named Jacob, and he was interested. He kind of didn't understand what, you know, he said, well, what if I sin less than 100 times? And I was like, no, I'm sorry, buddy. And I explained it in the Bible, you know, about how, you know, it takes just one sin to separate us from the holiness of God. And, you know, and I was explaining it to him, and he was understanding, like, everything, but he just wasn't ready to accept, you know, Jesus yet, and I wasn't going to push him. But that was probably one of the most encouraging moments for me. Just this week was just to see him and knowing that God's working in his heart. And though it wasn't at that moment that he's going to get saved, but he has the understanding now to get saved, to accept, to repent, and to believe. And so that's my testimony. And I'm just very thankful for this church. And I'm thankful that the energy and input that many of you guys put. And some, you know, some have bigger roles, some have smaller roles, but it all matters in the end. So I'm very thankful for you guys.
Amen. My name's Alan Ivey. I'll apologize right off the bat because I'm not a great public speaker, but there's some great thoughts that I do want to share with you all. So, like you'll probably hear from a lot of us, ministry is a great opportunity to, of course, work and reach out with others, but this week, for me, was so much as well being ministered to. As a lot of you have seen, I've got many, many kids. So a lot of times we feel like we're burdening other people. Like if we come, they're going to have to watch our kids. And then, so sometimes it's easy to feel that way. But this week, the outpour of love, while we were here trying to help the other kids, we were equally receiving that love from you all. Eli got to go to a class which he was a little too young for, but it freed up an arm for my wife, and she was able to serve a little bit as well. So that was a huge blessing. So I was able to observe both as a parent and as a helper, and to be doubly blessed. And Kamish, Drew, and I, we had the 7 to 9-year-old boys, and you'd think they'd be rambunctious, but this group of boys was actually super, super good the whole week. So I feel kind of guilty because it was easy for us. So it was awesome. Two of my boys were in that class as well. Got a chance to see them interact with other kids and use the things we're learning at home, learning at church, and make new friends. Each and every one of those kids felt welcome, felt loved. They all expressed they wanted to come back. Even speaking with some of the parents on Friday, they were able to reach out. Like day one, their kids were terrified to show up. And then that night on the rest of the week, they just couldn't wait to get back to VBS. And why is it only one time a year? And when can we go back? And so all of that was awesome. And then, so that was all a great, great encouragement for me as well. But then the lesson, learning on to put on the full armor of God, of course, is a great lesson for us as well. You're getting preached to while you're preaching to the children. And so a thought that the Lord laid on my heart that I wanted to share with all of you, for a lot of you, especially the really, really faithful crowd, has been really encouraging to me and my family the last couple years. But sometimes, you know, you may have noticed, sometimes we're not here all the time or we weren't. I was in law school, and that's why we moved to Florida. And so I thought that's why we were, you know, here. And so that was kind of my main priority. And I realized trying to put on the full armor of God and going on and taking the spiritual warfare that was a secular law school in this day and age, every day, every class was warfare. And even trying to put on that armor and do all of those things, I realized what I wasn't doing was being a part of the keep. And the encouragement I've been getting from all of you this past week, even just being locked arm in arm with you and teaching these kids, it encouraged my soul. My soul was at peace so much so, more so than it's been in years since moving here. And so while I don't know what answers lie ahead, now that I've finished law school, God has led us here. As you all know, a couple weeks ago, we joined finally as members. And so I just wanted to thank all of you for that and being patient with us and loving us. And ministering to us throughout these years, it really means a lot. So when visitors come through these doors and you go out of your way and you talk to us, you say hello, you smile every week, it sticks with you. It sticks with you. Even if we're out the door to go pick up our kids from the nursery right away, the people that came out, it was such a huge blessing. So I just want to thank you guys for that, and I look forward to many more years of locking arms with you and doing the same thing. So thank you.
Hi. I absolutely love BBS. I think it's probably my favorite outreach that our church has. I look forward to it every year. It's the one time when the kids come to us and we can speak freely to them, and they are excited to hear what we have to say. They want to hear what we have to say, and they pour out their love, like it's already been said, to us, and we can love them back. It was so neat because this year, on the very first day, we kind of sit where we always do each year, and two of the kids from our past VBSs came up, and they were going to go ahead and join our class again, not realizing that we are four-year-olds, and they had grown up, so they had to move on to another class. But it shows the excitement for being here and the impression that we make on them while they're here, that they remember us 1 year later and they want to come back and join us. Amen. In our groups. Like I mentioned, we had 4-year-olds, and I had 2 wonderful helpers. Mrs. Muir and Mrs. Neville were my helpers for this year, and they were amazing. We were blessed tremendously by having 8 children in the 4-year-old class.
Amen.
Every day. They were the same ones. They came back every day. So we were able to pour these lessons into them consistently every day. They were amazing. They were so attentive. They sat at the table. They were listening. They were responding. And if you've ever been in a VBS class, well, I can't say that because I don't know the older classes. But in our class, we teach a lesson, and then we ask questions at the end. And they're usually yes or no answers, but they're answered in a fun way. For instance, when we were doing Winifred, they would answer, if it was yes, they would go, hee-hee, you know, like a horse, because Winifred was a horse. At one time, if the answer was no, they were stomping, they were jumping. All of them listened attentively. All of them participated in answering the questions, and most of them always got them right, including our not quite 4-year-old. So that was wonderful to see, too. At the very end, we have an opportunity for our parents to come into our class and visit with us. And we had several parents that came into our class, and I was telling the kids, you know, you've had 4 days of learning, but the parents need to catch up, so let me real quickly do an overview. Well, I was trying to do an overview with them, and some of them were trying to help me out with that overview because they knew and they remembered what they had been taught. And at the very end, when it was time for me to dismiss the parents, one of the parents came up to me, and I know Vi was a part of listening to the conversation. I don't know if Mrs. Neville heard it all or not, but she asked me a question. She said that her child had come home and asked a question about Jesus. How can Jesus be God and God die for our sins? And it was time for us to come up here, so I only had a few seconds to thumb sketch out for her the answer to that question. And it really made me realize, when we pray for these 4-year-olds, we're basically asking God, please allow us to plant seeds in their heart that will bear the fruit of salvation later on in their lives.
Amen.
But this child went home, shared with his mother what he had learned, asked her the questions that he didn't understand, and she came back and asked us. Well, Vi told me this morning that she had been praying all weekend for this family because he listened so attentively and he heard the truth, and it's in his mind, it's just not quite sorted out as much as I would have liked for it to have been. So I did tell the mother that we have Sunday school classes and to come up here. I did also tell her that if she needed to speak to me at any time, she could call the church and they would get in touch with me. I would love to be able to meet and speak with her. I know that Vi is praying for her, and I pray that you would too. Is VBS worth it? Absolutely, it is worth it. And I honestly hope every one of you in here today will show up next year and help with VBS, because you don't know what you are missing until you are sitting in a classroom. You may think you are sitting in a classroom doing nothing, but you would be amazed what gets accomplished.
That's right.
When you are sitting in that classroom,
that's right,
watching these kids, interacting with these kids, and mainly just loving them. So, thank you.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Huzzah!
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 Okay, so, sorry, Debbie. I'm not a Debbie. I'm a Sharon. And that's how we started our VBS. Thank you, Pastor Val. This is Jesus speaking, Mark 17:15. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. Verse 16, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. I was doing my devotions this week, and this verse, these two verses were like, jumped up the page of me. I'm like, this is BBS. I'd like to thank, Bones aren't here, but Sandy's not here either, but Renee's. The food in the back, and anybody else who contributed. Thank you so much. That was such a blessing. My co-teachers, Cindy Hansen, Rhonda Blake isn't here. Carol Anderson, I don't see her either. Praise God for them. God allows me to rub elbows with these very strong Christian women. We had 10 BBSers, 9 on Monday, and then along came 10 on Tuesday. Such a blessing. It was a casual meeting on Target Monday morning about 9:15 as I'm hobbling in to Target, and these two little boys are walking up with their mom. Mrs. Moore! Mrs. Moore! And I'm like, I had my dark glasses on, and the sun is shining on me. This is. And then the mom comes over to me and says, do you need help? Do you need a cart? And I'm like, oh, that'd be great. I didn't have to go far on Target, but anyway. She's asking me, what do I do with my two boys all summer long? She was our behavior specialist at our school this past year, and she had two boys that were the age of coming to BBS. And I said, well, I got two things to tell you. One, you got Vacation Bible School at our church this week, Monday through Friday. And on Wednesdays at Epic, there's dollar movies. And she was like, so what's your church do for Vacation Bible School? Well, we stood there for about 25 minutes, and I just explained what our church does for Vacation Bible School. And they came every night.
Praise
God. I had an opportunity to teach two nights this week. I got to teach the Belt of Truth, and I decided, through God's help, that I was going to go shop at the thrift store, and I purchased 5 ties, cut them in half, and wrapped them around our little BBSers, and then that night, it went in their bags. They got a bag every night, of the color sheet, whatever we did in class, and Tuesday night, they got the Belt of Truth. A few nights later, a parent came rolling, walking through those doors, and said, do you get to keep the tie? And I'm like, and she explained to me that her little son would tie it around his head and said, but this is where my truth comes from. So why do I have to wear it on my waist? And I looked at her and said, okay. And she goes, is that okay? I'm like, well, sure, why not? What's the big deal? And wherever he wears it, just so he tells the truth. So that was a blessing to me. The next time I got to teach, I was able to wear a cowboy hat and put foil on it. That was our helmet of salvation. And shoes of peace. And I happen to be a little distressed now wearing two shoes. But the good Lord allowed me to get in ready to throw away a cardboard box of Glad plastic bags that you would put sandwiches in. And it just so happened that my left foot fit in it. So I wrapped it with foil, and that became my shoe of peace. But again, you smart little BBSers, the little boy said, how come you don't have two? And I explained to him I couldn't get one wrapped around my other foot. And he said, so you're only half a piece. Whatever. I said, yeah, that's right. I mean, what am I going to say? He's 4. Well, he turned 5 yesterday, but he was still any. I also want to give a shout out to the singing. Thank you, Amanda. Amen. And I, or we also, the teachers and I, Rhonda was a great one in this. We sang, we did one, another song, The Lord's Army, where you zoom over the enemy, ride on the artillery, shoot the artillery. So fun. Salute. We sang it over and over and over again. So again, on Friday night, the same young little VBSer comes in and says, I was teaching my dad this song. And I'm like, okay, I don't know which song, but yeah. And he goes, you know it. And I'm like, okay, which song? He goes, you know, the one that you go, yes, sir. And he said it so loud. The four-year-old group, I don't know if Debbie saw it, she's not here, they all turned around. And it just was a great moment because they're like, is he saluting her? And I'm like, and this is how things are with little kids. They're just random and it's fun. And as I think Michael touched on it, and Debbie was before me, and he was the other one, I forget now, but it is the love of these children. It comes out of them, and they don't even know that's what's coming out of them. And we'll test with them, sorry. We get the blessing more than what they're giving to us. And glory to God for that. Thank you.
Amen.
Hello. For those of you that do not know me, I am Sarah Moore, and I had the privilege of working with the 7 to 9-year-old girls this past week at VBS. And if you don't know what I do, I am actually a high school English teacher. So working with 7 through 9-year-old girls, that is not my department, actually. But they were a lot of fun, and the first night they walked in and there were 5. And I thought to myself, oh, wow, this is going to be a piece of cake. There's 4 of us. Miss Bella Singh was the lead teacher, and then Sheena Adams and Hunter Ivy and I, we were all together in that class. I was like, there's 4 of us and 5 of them. And by the end of the night, I was so grateful that there were 5 and there were 4 of us, because these girls were so sweet, but they were so energetic. And they had so many questions. And these were great questions that had us looking at each other going, wow, we need to think about that and come back tomorrow and answer those questions. And I even had one who's here tonight, and her name is Kylie. And she would write down questions for me. And we would sit here at the end of VBS and we would talk about it, and we would be able to open up our Bibles and answer some of those, and we'd be able to pray together. And that was just such a blessing to me, especially going into this thinking, I teach high school. What am I bringing to these 7 through 9-year-old girls? So that was a blessing to me. Also, I got to teach for 2 nights. And I was going into it again thinking, I teach high school, what skills am I going to have to keep these girls engaged? So I bought candy. And these girls paid attention, and I don't think it was just because of the candy, but they learned so much. And again, like Miss Davis was saying, we did a review at the end of the week, and we talked about everything that we learned throughout the week. We talked about the belt of truth, we talked about the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit, and there's one that I'm forgetting. Thank you. Kylie knows it. See? The helmet of salvation. No candy involved. All right, so we talked about all of them, and it was just a blessing to me, especially going in thinking, God, how are you going to use me through this? And then by the end of the night, sitting back and realizing that really, like Pastor Lamb was saying, it's just being willing to help out. It's being willing to put your name down and sign up in whatever capacity that God can use you, and then praying that he will, and trusting that he will. So I was encouraged by everyone that was able to help out this week. Thank you.
Okay, so
My memory is not very good in general. However, I think one of the reasons I love VBS so very much is I have very vivid memories of VBS, going to VBS when I was a little girl, and how exciting it was. And I get excited every year when VBS rolls around. And I gotta say, this wasn't on my list, but the reason I found this church, I think 4, maybe 5 years ago, I'm not sure now, we had just moved here, and the VBS sign was out. And my daughter happened to see it, and she said, "Mom, there's a place where the kids, Haley, could go for vacation Bible school." I said, "You know, that'd be great, but let me check this church out," because I didn't know anything about the church. So I visited that following Sunday, and I tell this story all the time, but it's so true, and I know many of you can probably relate. I took 2 steps inside that door right there, and I was home. And I knew I was home. I had been going to another church for about 5 years, and I had to call that pastor and explain, "I love you, I love the church, but God has called me somewhere else." You know, one of the things I love so much this week, and I was tired. I was so tired. But as I was walking up and down the, you know, the different halls and in the classes and such, everybody was tired. Everybody. You could see it on their faces. Everybody was tired, but that was such an encouragement because to me, you know, these were the faces of my brothers and sisters in Christ. They were determined to sow seeds into these young lives. And, you know, it didn't matter that they had already worked all day. It didn't matter that, you know, maybe they didn't even have any grandchildren there or any children they even knew. But the fact of the matter was they were willing to do what it took to reach these kids, to at least sow seeds, if nothing else. And you know what? Those seeds are so very important. Jacob was mentioned earlier. Jacob will remember Vacation Bible School for the rest of his life. I was making shirts. I had made some shirts, and Jacob happened to be at my house, and I had made everybody shirts. And he came up to me, and he said, "Am I going to get a shirt?" But the shirts I had made said Daughter of the King. And I said, "Well, what do you want your shirt to say?" And he said, "How about Blossom of God?" And I wasn't sure about that for a minute. And I called my mom and I said, "Well, this is what he wants on his shirt." And she said, "I think that's wonderful." I said, "I don't get it." I said, I don't get it. I'm not relating here." She said, "Well, don't you see? He's picturing himself. He's a blossom. And he's the seed has been planted, and he's a blossom, and he wants to get closer and know the Lord." I thought, well, then now that makes perfect sense, but I had to call my mom to get it all figured out. Couple things. I think, did we have 11 or 12 girls? Oh, it was 10? It seemed like more. Okay. I think it must have been all of us in there, too. So we had a great, great group of girls. Couple things, well, 3 things actually I'm going to tell you about real fast, but my granddaughter Kylie actually got saved. So obviously Grammy's ecstatic about that. I also noticed that my kids that I was with all week, the way they treated each other, definitely with God's intervention, to have that many kids together in one place for an extended amount of time, you're just asking for trouble. I mean, you just are. But it was an exceptionally wonderful week. They didn't get along 100%, but I could see in the way they were speaking to each other, or maybe started to speak to each other and pulled back, they were getting it. They were understanding that they needed to be kind to one another, and it was just really very awesome to see. A young lady named Ezra, who had come to Vacation Bible School, actually was in Sunday school this morning. I was so happy to see her there. And we're going to be having a little get-together next Saturday, and Ezra and her brother Judah are going to join us. So that was really awesome as well. So I just wanted 2 more quick things. Until you've heard or had a house full of your own grandbabies and heard them singing VBS songs over and over and over again and yelling huzzah at the top of their lungs during your morning coffee quiet time, you really truly haven't lived. But it was really a wonderful, wonderful week. But I wanted to say this last thing. I have a tradition on Sunday after church and after lunch. I take a little bit of a nap. I hope most of you do as well because it's lovely. But I woke up to this, and I wanted to share it with you. It was a text message, and it says, "Dear Open Door, my 12-year-old daughter attended your VBS, and it was an occasion for so much good in her life. She was invited by her grandparents and met friends she will continue to connect with. I have photographs of her smiling and singing and learning. She wore a costume and came home with keepsakes that she treasures. The candy was a big hit, too. It warmed my heart to see your community surround my child with the love of Jesus. It's a sweet memory from now on. Every detail and decoration by every volunteer paid off in her life. You all really know how to minister to children. Thank you." And that was Tiffany Gunter. So I just, what an amazing thing to wake up to this afternoon, and it really touched my heart. So I encourage you, if you haven't yet joined that ministry and got yourself involved in that, you are truly, truly, truly missing out. And I'm not the only one who said that tonight. So please give that some thought and prayer this year. Thanks.
Amen.
Well, anyone that knows me well knows that Vacation Bible School is a highlight of mine because it combines two of my very favorite things, music and children. And the Lord really blessed us abundantly. I mean, you've been hearing that all night long, but I'm going to say it again. Leading up to Vacation Bible School, I had found out that there were like three other churches in the area that were going to be having Vacation Bible School that same week as us. And I was disappointed about that and discouraged, and I was thinking that it was going to pull from our numbers and we weren't going to have as many, and shouldn't these churches get together and spread out the VBSs so they can go to all of them? But the Lord showed me that there are enough children to go around. And he blessed us with an average of like 65 children each night. And these were a great group of kids. They were energetic. They were all participating with good attitudes. So it was my privilege and joy to take all 65 children and teach them four new songs, which they in turn sang for their parents on Friday night. And let me tell you, that just gave me such a spiritual high that's hard to compare with. And I just loved every minute of it. And all week long, I had people tell me, "Amanda, you're so great with the kids. Amanda, you're such a natural. Amanda, you have such a gift." When I do praise and thank the Lord for the gifting that he has given me, but really, it's quite simple. And I'm going to share with you my little secret. First of all, I love those children. And they know that I love them. And second of all, I believe in those children. And isn't that what we all want? Somebody to love us and somebody to believe in us. And so if you are feeling overwhelmed or intimidated by having to work with children, let me just encourage you. You just need to remember two things. They just want to be loved, and they want to be believed in. And it's amazing what can happen. Children will meet you step for step. If you have a low expectation of them, they will meet you at your low expectation. If you have a high expectation of children, they will meet you there and often surpass it. Because, once again, they just want somebody to believe in them. So I would just encourage anybody. But I also wanted to give a shout out to several of our senior saints who came and participated this past week. There were several of you that came every night and counted the coins, helped with the puppets, did registration, and even one of you dressed up as the Queen of Sheba one night. And I just want to tell you what a testimony that was to me, and what an encouragement that you still want to serve your Savior. And I can only say that one day, when I'm an 84-year-old woman, I hope that I'm still serving in my church's Vacation Bible School. So thank you.
Amen. Those are great, really great testimonies. Thank all of you. Michael Beam, Alan Ivey, Debbie Davis, Sharon Moore, Sarah Moore, Rebecca Bellinger, and Amanda Crawford. It really does give you a breadth, doesn't it? Of you can find out what's going on in other areas that you might not have known of. I wanted to give a little devotion as we finish the service of the Lord's priority of children. And I was thinking back because, you know, everything that everyone said is so true about the attentiveness of children and how they notice things. And I was thinking back of a memory that I have. I remember little things about being in church with my dad and him singing off key. And I knew it. Now, I'm a little kid because the perspective I have is I'm looking up at him, is my actual memory. So I'm literally, I can't see over the pew, and I can actually remember it. And he's singing off key, and I'm a small kid, and I'm thinking, he's singing off key, but he's singing loud. I mean, it's the old joyful noise thing, you know. And that made an impression on me. I have really good memories of sitting in church with my parents. Then I had this memory of, you know, we were taught as kids to respect your elders, to respect people that are older or adults and that sort of thing. And I had this one memory. This really made an impression on me, a negative impression, because I had a friend who, you know, we were sleeping over, he had sleepovers and stuff. His name is Jimmy, and this was probably, I don't know, not quite junior high school or younger, late elementary school. Anyway, I'm sleeping over, and we're just eating breakfast the next morning, and his parents are there. And, of course, I'm taught to respect people. And his parents, there were sitting at the having breakfast, and they hand out vitamins. And his dad handed me a vitamin, and he said, "It's chewable. Try that." And I said, "Okay," and I started chewing. It wasn't chewable. And have you ever tried to chew a non-chewable vitamin? It's really bad. But see, here's the actually bad part, is he did it intentionally. He thought it was funny. He thought it was funny. Some sixth grade kid, give him the vitamin, make him chew it, and watch the disgust on his face. And all I remember is my friend and his dad laughing at me because I ate some unchewable. Now, it wasn't like I was demoralized or anything. Honestly, what I remember is I thought he was stupid. My dad would never do something like that. And even as a kid, I'm looking at this guy, and whatever respect I had of him dropped 100-fold. And I knew him for who he was. He was a dope. And so kids, for the positive or for the negative, I'm sorry, adults, they can see right through us. And you don't think they realize, but they realize totally. And you know, one person that really impressed me was Pastor Stewart. When we first came to this church, our kids were small. It was like 1999, year 2000. We came in, and we actually started taking the growing kids God's way because we needed help. And so I remember walking into church, and you know what Pastor Stewart would do? He would look at you, and then he would talk to your kids. And as an adult, that meant a lot to me. And I'm like, it's okay, ignore me, talk to my kids. And Lauren, for years, would always say, "Pastor Stewart is my favorite pastor," is what she always would say. Well, why? Because he would look down and say, "Hello, Lauren, how are you doing?" He would carry on these conversations. And that may, now, by the way, when I went into the ministry, she always said, Pastor Stewart is my second favorite pastor. So anyway, she got that right. So listen, these kids, they know. Now, I know that in our culture they talk about the children and the children. And I think on some level they make children out to be, if you'll allow me to say this, more wise than they are. Because children need to learn things. They need to learn truth. And I'm not going to sit down with a group of children and go, you children, tell me what to think. Because I'm sorry, as parents and as ministers, we are there to teach our children. And the book of Deuteronomy is very clear. We're to teach them when we're standing up and laying down and sitting down and at home and doing whatever. We are to teach, teach, teach. But the assumption is that we know ourselves. And so we have to know what truth is to pass that truth along to our kids. Amen? I wanted to share with you just a couple verses, and you're aware of these, but it always strikes me with what regularity they show up, and a couple of these are passages that appear in all the Synoptic Gospels, and it's Jesus talking about children. And in Mark chapter 9, you can turn there if you like, it's Mark chapter 9, around verse 35. It says, he sat down and called the 12. So there's just some teaching going on. The context is just some a series of different teachings. And he saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Remember, he was teaching about humility. Verse 36, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. Let that sink in for a moment. You receive a child, it is like receiving Christ. Jesus said something else similar. He said, if you give a cup of water in my name, you have a reward in heaven. He said, whatever you do to the least of these my brethren, that you do unto me. And that tells us God is watching what we're doing. God is watching how we're treating children. When that idiot handed me a vitamin and goes, hoo, 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 like it's funny. By the way, I hate those kind of tricks that you play on people. I think it's just useless. God was watching. What'd you play a trick on a kid for? He's teaching here in Mark chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. He's talking about humility and the humility that naturally emanates from children. They don't need titles. They don't need all the baubles in life that we need to kind of exalt ourselves and make people notice us. The kids don't need any of that. They take you at face value. And they expect to be taken at face value. To respect one another, they are programmed to say, I'm supposed to respect you. And oh yeah, by the way, you're supposed to respect me. And kids know when it's not happening their direction. He took the child and he's using the child as an example. Whosoever shall, verse 37, receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Now, he goes on teaching in the passage, but drop down to verse 42, because everything between verse 37 and 42 still relates to this humility and acceptance. In verse 42, it says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. That's pretty rough when you think about it. You're talking about a child. You're talking about offending a child. Now, of course, the offense is not some simple offense like I was describing. This would be a little more drastic. And I don't need to tell you about the things that happen in our culture, even in church contexts, where children are offended. God help the person that does that. And can we not heed the words of Jesus here? How dare you offend a child in this way? And just reel it back from the extreme. We tend to go to the extremes. But just reel it back to the simple part. I had some children come in, and I shared before, they walked into the foyer, and they're introducing themselves. They were so excited, they were shaking. And they couldn't say their name. I'm like, what's your name? His name was William. I thought he was saying Ian, and he couldn't pronounce his name right. And so I'm shaking his hand, and his sister comes up, and she sees me meeting her brother, and she's like, and you could see it on her face, it's like, well, aren't you going to introduce yourself to me? You know, and I'm like, hello there. And so we were having a nice time, you know, talking to each other. And the thing is that here I am, 6'2", and they've got to be, I don't know, 4 feet tall or less, 3 feet tall. And I'm just sitting there and having a real nice interaction with them. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me. They believe in Jesus. You have to teach a child to be an atheist. Listen, we can go back to Romans chapter 1 if you want to. He says the Gentiles by nature know that there is a God. What is it? Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth its handiwork. And it talks about day by day, it goes on. This language, it goes into every culture and every language across the whole earth. Everyone looks at the skies and says, I know there's a creator. I may not know his name, but I know he's there. So you talk in a missionary sense. Listen to me. Now think about this with me. If there is a person on Bora Bora or some faraway land, okay, and they look up at the stars and they go, well, I don't know his name, but I know that there's a Savior. And you say, that person's ripe for a missionary. You need to send that missionary to... And we make a big priority of that. Well, I'll tell you what, every single little kid that comes in that door, they feel the same thing. Can't we be the missionaries to them? In their heart, they may not express it, but they're like, well, I know there's got to be a creator out there. And so, can we not tell them that there's a creator? I mean, this is why we have these ministries. And the conversation that always takes place is at the end of VBS. Oh, well, when are you having VBS again? And our response always is, well, we do this every Sunday night, you know, during kids club, or we have junior church, and I have to say this for our sake too. Do you know we do this every Sunday? In junior church, have you ever visited junior church? Junior church is a lot of fun. They do pledges to the flags, and they have snack time and all that kind of stuff. The table out there, they get drinks and such. There's children's church as well for the little kids. So while we're up here having our big church, the little kids are having junior church for, is it 4-year-old to 12, right? 3 to 12, and then the children's church are the little kids. Junior churches are the bigger kids. So we're doing this all the time. If you jump from Mark chapter 9 to Mark chapter 10, Jesus is teaching. And again, you can see these passages show up in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, they brought young children to him. So, of course, the crowds are following Jesus, and they're bringing sick to him and others. They brought young children that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked them that brought them. So they want, so people do this all the time. They come and say, can you christen my child? We want to dedicate our child. And we do baby dedications here at Open Door. And for us, it is not baptism. A baby dedication is just a ceremony where a parent can say, we're going to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's a very nice thing. So it's every parent wants something like this. I want the Lord to see my child. And it's a good moment. So even here they're doing it. Verse 14, the parents are bringing it, but of course the disciples, they have serious business. Oh, we gotta get these kids out of here, messing things up. Isn't this the attitude? Get these kids are just messing everything up. You know, we got adult business to go on here. There was a story that J. Vernon McGee told, and he was telling, and you know his kind of his folksy way of explaining things. He was on the radio for many years, the radio Bible class. And so J. Vernon McGee was telling the story of they had some service and two people got saved. And it was being related to him. And a man told J. Vernon McGee that it was an older man that got saved, like a senior, and a child. And the quip that the man said to him was, well, I guess that's 1.5 people got saved because it was a child. And that was just, you know, just the way of saying things. Well, 1.5 people, not 2. And J. Vernon McGee said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, you know, it's a child, so it's half a person or whatever. And in his very folksy and honest way, he said, well, he said, I think you've got it backwards. He said, because the old man, he's old and worn out. He doesn't have all that time left. He said, he's the half. The child is the whole because they have their whole life ahead of them. Amen? You know, we have to change the way we look at children. We have to adopt God's way of looking at them. And look, it's right here in the text. Verse 14, Jesus saw it. He wasn't displeased. He was much displeased. I can imagine him talking to somebody or he's teaching and he sees this going on in the corner. He's like, excuse me, just a moment. Peter, John, what are you guys doing there? You know, stop. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Allow this to happen and forbid them not. For such, now this is really important because now Jesus not only says, let them come to me, but he raises this all the way up to kingdom teaching. So this now becomes central. When Jesus makes a kingdom teaching out of something, you need to take note. He says twice, such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. See, this is because the faith of a child is an accepting. It's if you say to a child, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin, much of the time the reaction you're going to get is, oh, okay, right? Now, they're going to work these things out later. Someone was talking about, I wasn't sure if, you know, if the child got it or not, but you know what? I heard in all the testimonies, there are seeds that were planted. There were things that were explained. And you know what? They don't have to understand everything at this moment. That's how the gospel oftentimes is communicated, one little piece at a time. I was at Pig in the Pond, and I had a disappointment. You know that little box at Pig in the Pond? It's a square box, and it has a mirror in it and a hole at the top. And it says, see why Jesus died on the front of the box. And it's an attention getter. And everyone thinks a snake is going to jump out of it. So you go, come here and see why Jesus died. And they go like this, like they're afraid to. They think something's going to pop out. And it's like, come here, nothing's going to get you. Come look in the box. And it's a mirror so that when you look in the box, you see your reflection and you say, he died for you. See why Jesus died? He died for you because they see you're the reflection. And it's a thought provoker. Anyway, there was this little 12-year-old boy, and he was on his way to get cotton candy or something. So I said, hey, come here. See why Jesus died. And he was looking. I said, come here. And he walked over, and he looked in the box. And I said, he died for you. And the little boy looked up at me, and he goes, huh, that's weird. And he turned and walked away. And I was actually troubled by that because I'm like, oh no, he doesn't understand. He walked away confused. I have done a poor job. Forgive me, Lord. You know, and then, I mean, that's actually how I felt. And I almost felt ashamed that I didn't like grab him or whatever. But upon reflection, I thought, you know what? That boy's going to remember that for a long time. Like it's an unresolved conflict. It's something that doesn't make sense. And 5 years from now, he's going to go, you know, some crazy guy at a fair said that Jesus died for me. That doesn't make any sense. Pastor, can you explain that to me? You see how this works? See, God uses all these things. Even the When in love the things are shared, the kids are going to hang on to it. And I was all smiles. I didn't go, get out of here, kid. You know, I was smiling. I said, he died for you. And the last thing he saw is some guy holding a box going, you know. You know, so it's all positive. He's got to work it out. And guess who he has on his side? Listen to me. He has the Holy Spirit. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter in. He goes from, they've got no problem, but you, oh you adult, who have been hurt, who you've been changed by the world, you've been affected by the philosophy of the world, you're the one who has the problem. Because you've imbibed all of this philosophy of the world, and when you hear Jesus died for the sins of the world, you're the one who's going to have the big problem. And he says, you must receive the kingdom of God, you know, by faith, you know, like a little child, or you're not going to enter in. And he took them up, listen, and he took them up in his arms, he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Isn't that beautiful? In Matthew chapter 18, one more I wanted to share with you. The disciples came unto him saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And again, this is going to be a lesson on humility. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set them in the midst and said, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter in. So it's a very similar teaching. And then he references, this is Matthew 18:6. He mentions the millstone. Don't offend them. And then later, he says this in Matthew 18:10. So it's a similar teaching to what we've heard. But then he says, take heed. Take heed that you, Matthew 18:10, that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Drop down to verse 14. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. This is one of the verses that we get the whole theology of guardian angels from this. Are there angels that watch over us? Well, can you deny it reading this verse? Psalm 91:11 says, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Hebrews chapter 1 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And what Jesus says is, this little child has a guardian angel watching over them who is always beholding the face of God, which means that this angel, amazingly, is with almost no effort, can traverse earth and heaven and can be in the presence of God and be in the presence of this child, almost like one who is traversing, let's say, Jacob's ladder. So it's amazing that God puts such a priority on children in all these different ways. And I think this church is blessed if we put a priority on these children as well. I think it would be appropriate for us to continue to pray for each one of these. The stories that we've heard tonight, pray even if you don't remember all the details. The little boy that Michael Beam was able to witness to. The little girl that Sarah gave the Bible to, and who else? You were giving a Bible to someone, Samantha. It was the last night of VBS, a pink Bible. And so we're, you know, all of these different interactions with the children, we need to pray for them. Amen? I'm going to ask Amanda and George to come. And I think it probably would be a good time for us. Maybe it's not time for us to pray for ourselves. Maybe this is a time that we can dedicate to pray for all the children that we interacted with at VBS and the seeds that were sown. But I'd like to add one more thing. Let's pray for their parents. Let's pray for their siblings. Because we just anointed in VBS a whole bunch of little short missionaries to go into their homes with the gospel. Amen. So let's stand and sing together. George, what will we sing? 470. Let's sing together. We thank you for such a wonderful service. We thank you for a wonderful week of Vacation Bible School. We thank you for the Lamb family and their total commitment, not only in the months of planning, but in the week of the ministering, Lord, for them and for all the teachers and all the workers. We just thank you for a wonderful week. Protect these seeds for the children's sake, that they themselves, Lord, would truly, truly remember what they heard. Of course, Lord, we want their families to come to good churches, this church or other churches. Maybe they have a church that they don't frequent enough. Maybe this will be a rededication for them. Whatever the matter, I pray, Lord, that some follow-up, some decision would follow, Lord, from the seeds that were sown. Protect them. I thank you for each one here, and we pray, Lord, that as we go, you would go with us and make us light in a dark world as you have planned. We commit it to you, and we love you for it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.